Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's tape is presented by Jeff Tobe. Jeff is president of Dimensions International, an international company that offers creativity workshops and custom training to business groups and associations around the world. Prior to his professional speaking career, Jeff had been involved in the advertising industry for over 10 years. Having an entrepreneurial perspective from both the agency and vendor side of the promotional advertising field, he was uniquely prepared to capture the components of creativity from all points of view. During his last 3 years in business, Jeff won 5 International Golden Pyramid Awards and 1 Clio Award for creativity in promotions. During today's tape, Jeff will share with us how to look at problems from a new creative perspective while giving us the tools to work through the process. I think you will find today's tape both beneficial and entertaining.
Coloring outside the line, stepping outside of your comfort zone, and trying things that may be a little different than what you've tried in the past. And you may even have heard things like, why should somebody choose your company over others? And that's basically my premise, too. What makes you different than anybody else out there? Why should I choose your services over the others? Let me ask you a question, and I want you to think about this before you answer to yourself. Do you think that you're one of the most creative people that you know? Do you truly believe that? You know, what I ask my audience is this when I speak to groups all over the world, and I got to tell you that over 90% of my audiences say that they are not one of the most creative people they know. And you know, I think we're creative every single day, and we'll get into that a little later on the tape. But the first step in being creative is telling yourself you're creative. You know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If I walk around all day saying, nobody likes me, nobody likes me, what happens? Nobody likes me. And if I walk around all day saying, I'm just not creative, I am just not as creative as my competition, guess what? You're not. So the first step is telling yourself that you are creative. I don't know if you've ever heard of the 21-day rule. Have any of you ever heard of that? As a matter of fact, it was developed or first introduced by AA. Alcoholics Anonymous. Many years ago, they said that if you could stop drinking for 21 days, you wouldn't break the habit, but you would at least get over the first hurdle. So I believe in the 21-day rule. 21 days to make or break or change an existing habit. Some of the things I'm going to share with you on this tape are not easy. As a matter of fact, they're going to be very uncomfortable. But I'm going to ask you to just buy into them for the next 21 days and see what happens. Try something with me very quickly. Now, if you're driving, this might be a little difficult. You might want to wait till you pull over to the side of the road. But just cross your fingers in front of you very comfortably. Thumbs on top of each other. Great. Now, as quickly as you can, I'd like you to pull your fingers out, reverse them, and put the other fingers inside each other, other thumbs on top of each other. Is that uncomfortable for some of you? Awkward? Maybe impossible for some of you? Sure. But guess what? If for the next 21 days you crossed your fingers in this new way, it would start to feel comfortable. And you would change the habit, your habit of crossing your fingers that way. And you know what? It's no different in business. Like I say, some of the things I'm going to share with you are not going to be easy, but I'm going to ask you for 21 days just to buy into it. The first thing, you've got to tell yourself that you are creative. Now, after you listen to this tape, you're going to be walking around saying, I am creative, I am creative, I am creative. I don't believe a word of it, but I am creative because Jeff Tobe said I am. That's okay. You know, people think you're a little outside the lines, but that's exactly what we're looking for. So the first step in telling yourself that you are creative, you start to act creatively. You know, when I do ask the question, why don't you say that you're a creative person? What I hear most of the time has something to do with the fine arts. I'm not creative because I can't dance, I can't sing, I can't act, or I can't, I don't know, paint a picture. Well, one of the things I want to do throughout this tape is just use excerpts from my live presentations to prove a point. What I'm asking you to do is to reach inside and find that creative giant that lives inside all of us. But the most important part is how do you use it once you find it? How do you use it to your advantage in business every single day? Well, the first way to use it is to consider change. You know, things are changing so quickly, and if we don't keep up with it, we're going to get left behind. I got a challenge for you. Next time you get into your car or one of your vehicles, I'm going to challenge you to drive to your next appointment only looking in your rearview mirror. I don't think you'll have much luck. As a matter of fact, let me know if you're in my area so I can stay out of the way. The point is, so many of us approach our businesses in the exact same manner, only looking in our rearview mirrors. And what I like to tell you is I think you should start looking through your windshield to see what's coming down the road in front of you in your specific industry, instead of looking in your rearview mirror to see how it's been done forever. You know, so many people in my audiences tell me they've been doing what they do for over 20 years, and every time they hear a client or a homeowner's challenge, they know exactly what to do. They've been doing this for 20 years. What are they doing? They're looking in the rearview mirrors, doing things the way they've always been done. To be more creative, you've got to find new and innovative approaches to every single challenge. And we've got to look at change, we've got to welcome it. As a matter of fact, there was a study done in 1988 at Harvard Business School. And they studied different industries, and specifically, they studied the service contractor's business, or the industry. And what they found in your industry is that you went through a major change in the way you did business every 3 years. That means something that you do now will change drastically in the next 3 years. You know what? They redid the study in 1994, and they found that 3 years had been reduced to 18 months. 18 months. That means every 18 months, every, you know, year and a half, things are going to change. The way you do business is going to change. And if you don't keep up with it, you're going to get left behind. So being more creative, being more innovative in your approaches to marketing, to just getting in front of people, is what's going to set you apart from everyone else. You know, when I owned my own agency, I remember calling in one day. I had 8 people working for me. And I remember the conversation started the exact same way. After the niceties were out of the way, I remember the words out of everyone's mouths were exactly the same. I have a problem. Oh, sure. Jeff, I have a problem with an order. Jeff, I have a problem with a client. Jeff, I got a problem with the receptionist. Problem, problem, problem. To the point where I was so sick of problems. If you think of it, the word problem is so negative. If you have a problem, you've got an obstacle to get over. So I was so sick of the word problems, I went back to our regular Monday morning meeting, and I said to them, look, we've got to come up with another word. I don't care what you call it, but we're not going to have problems in this office. I said, you know, problem is so negative, see what you can come up with. Well, after only a few minutes of brainstorming, they came up with a wonderful word, situation. Now, you've got to imagine this. Now I call in, and they say, Jeff, I've got a situation with the receptionist. Jeff, I've got a situation with an order. Well, after a week of this, I felt more like the commander of a naval ship than I did running my own company. It didn't work. So we went back to the drawing board, and they came up with a word that literally changed the way we did business. They came up with the word challenge. Challenge. Think about it. A challenge dares you to attack it. You don't have obstacles because from every challenge comes an opportunity. And one of those things that I told you I would challenge you for the next 21 days is saying to yourself, every time that you think you've got a problem, stop yourself and say, wait, it's a challenge. Because from every challenge comes an opportunity. I want to share a scenario with you because I think it's very relevant to what you're out there doing every single day. Every single person or every single homeowner you get in front of. Nancy came to work with me many years ago. And in the first week that she was with me, she came to me and she said, Jeff, would you mind going out on a sales call with me just to see how I'm doing? I said, no problem. I would love to do it. We went to see a client of hers, and the first words out of his mouth, I have a problem. Well, you know me well enough already. I stood up and said, no, it's not a problem. It's a challenge. And from every challenge comes an opportunity. He said, no, I have a problem. So I sat down and I kept my mouth shut. He said, my problem is that every year we do 5 trade shows. Thousands of people come through the doors. But last year we found out that only 30% of those people are coming onto our booth. What can I give away with my name on it to attract people to my booth? Well, Nancy got excited. She said, I know exactly what you can do. Give away yo-yos. She said, think about it. Every adult thinks that they're an expert yo-yoer. Don't you pick up a yo-yo, you know how to walk the dog, sleep the cat, round the world, whatever that is. Sure you do. Well, they got excited. Now, you got to remember we were in Texas, and for those of you who are in Texas, you'll appreciate this. He said, oh, good, can we put our logo on one side? And on the other side, can we put, we want yo business, you know, Y-O? Very creative. Well, they had a great conversation, and I just sat there watching. And after a few minutes, Nancy said to him, how many yo-yos will you need? And he said, I don't know, probably 100, 125, 1,000. 125,000 yo-yos. I don't care what business you're in. This is not a bad order. Well, Nancy got all excited. And somewhere in the conversation, he said to Nancy, look, Nancy, I have the authority to buy these. I have the budget to buy these. It's Tuesday. If you'll go back and get me a price, call me on Friday, and I'll give you the purchase order number. He said, I just need to make sure that people want to play with yo-yos when they're standing on the booth, because I won't be the one doing that. Well, Nancy was excited. We walked out of there, and I held her like a balloon. I mean, she was floating so high. The rest of the week was a complete write-off. Well, Friday came, and she started to call. And she called, and she called, and she called. And he didn't return her calls. The weekend went by. Monday morning, she comes into the office, and I said, Nancy, I don't care what it takes. Get hold of this guy. If you have to show up on his doorstep, find out what happened. Listen, I wanted the order, too. So Nancy called and called. And about the fourth try, she did get through to him. And I don't know exactly how the conversation went, but it went something to the effect of, Nancy, thank you so much for your idea for yo-yos. It's great. We're going to use yo-yos. But on Friday, I found somebody who could do them cheaper. So I went ahead and placed the order. And to rub salt into the wound, he continued. He said, Nancy, look, you have such great ideas. Would you mind coming in every other week? We have a brainstorming session that we'd love for you to come in and share your ideas with us. Well, by the end of the week, Nancy was out of the business. But what did she do wrong? Now, I know you've listened to sales tapes and probably had some sales training of some kind. The point is, creatively, what did she do wrong? What Nancy did was to offer the first right answer. You know, we all tend to do it. We're a society that loves quick fixes. We hear a challenge. We've been in this business for so long, we know exactly how to solve that challenge, and so we offer the first right answer. But I'm here to tell you, for 21 days, I need you to buy into this basic concept when it comes to being more creative, and that is, there's always more than one right answer to every single challenge. More than one right answer and more than one side to every problem or every challenge you face. I can't stress enough that there's more than one right answer to every single challenge. And you're going to find this, now that you're aware of it, 21 days, when you go to say to somebody, I know exactly what to do. I've been doing it. I've been in this business for so long. I know exactly how to solve that challenge. Maybe you'll stop and take some time to think about it. See, one of the key points to being more creative, a little different than everybody else, setting yourself apart, is by taking that time to think about it. When a homeowner says to you, here's my challenge, and you say to yourself, I know what to do, but wait, I got to stop to think about it. All of a sudden you start to ask some questions that might set you apart from everyone else. See, creativity takes time. You can't be creative without time. Now, time is relevant. You'll have people who say to you, look, I need a quote now. I mean, you've got to give me something. My answer to them would be, look, if you can only give me a few minutes, I'm about 20 minutes away from the office. As soon as I get back, I'll call you with a quote. I just need to think about this. Maybe, just maybe, there's another way to approach this challenge. You know, back in the 1600s, Johann Gutenberg was sitting in a winery in Germany, probably having a little bit too much Riesling, but he takes a look over at this huge piece of machinery that they call a wine press. And he realizes that all it does is exert an amazing amount of pressure on grapes to squeeze out the juice to make wine. And he thinks back to a recent experience when he got to visit a mint. And he remembered all these little minting punches that again exerted a huge amount of pressure, but on a small little metal disc to make an imprint that they called a coin. And he thinks to himself, what if I combine the pressure of this huge wine press with the pressure of all these little minting punches? And what idea did he come up with? You're right, the modern printing press. Nolan Bushnell, 1972, sitting in front of his television. I don't know, in those days being bored with what, Brady Bunch, Partridge Family maybe? He takes a look at his television and he says, I wish I could play with my TV. Now this is a sick mind. I don't know why he said it. But he said, I wish I can play with my TV. And within 6 months he developed a game that plugged into the back of his television that he called Pong. 6 months later, he started Atari. Not a bad success story for wanting to play with your television. And Colt of Revolver fame, came up with the action of the revolver while sitting on the Mississippi watching a paddle wheel go by. And the Montgolfier brothers came up with the idea for a hot air balloon when they were sitting in front of a fireplace and they watched a scrap piece of paper float on a hot current of air up the chimney. And do any of you know how Velcro was invented? Wait, before I ask you that, I have to share something with you because I'm a very proud dad. Recently, my 3-year-old came to me, and she wanted a pair of shoes with Velcro closures. Now, I'm sure you've seen it. Instead of shoelaces, it actually has Velcro that holds them tight. But she's never heard the word Velcro before. So she looked at me and she said, Daddy, I want a pair of shoes with chuh. I said, excuse me? She said, with chuh. You know, the sound that it makes when you undo it. Well, I thought it was very creative. Anyway, do you know how chuh was invented? Sure. Many years ago, a man was in the woods in New Zealand. He came walking out of the woods, and he looked down at his socks, and they were covered with burrs. You know, that common, pesky little weed. He looked down, his socks were covered with burrs. He looked up, he said, Velcro! Well, I'm not sure it was that quick, but somewhere in between, well, maybe he said chuh, and they couldn't spell it, so it took them some time for you engineering types. Somewhere in between what he realized and what all these people realized is that the makings of a new idea, a new way of presenting yourself, a new way of doing things are all around you all the time. If you'll just take off those proverbial blinders, we all wear them, just take off your blinders and look around. You know, when we're talking about small business, and I ran my own business for many years, I really just looked to other industries. I really believe that there's no such thing as a new idea, only new ways of presenting old ones. Think about this. No such thing as a new idea, only new ways of presenting old ones. That lets a lot of you off the hook. What I used to do is look for ideas outside of my industry. I used to take them, bring them back into my industry, and try and apply them to my business. So that's what I mean by taking your blinders off. The best place to find these ideas is either from other industries or just from other people. Let me share an idea with you that I used to develop my business in its early stages. I got together 5 other people from different businesses than mine. And every Thursday morning, we get together and we just have breakfast to share ideas. Now, I know they have formal networking groups nowadays, but most of us don't have the time or the money to spend on these kinds of things. But what we would do at breakfast is simply go around and discuss one challenge that we had for that week. And then the rest of the people, even though they were in different industries and maybe didn't understand exactly what you did, the rest of the people would offer ideas or solutions to those challenges. And it worked beautifully. You know, the challenges could simply be, how do I get my taxes done in time to get into the IRS? Or I remember in one specific case, going there one morning and saying, again, a trade show example, but saying, I have a customer who's doing a trade show and I cannot figure out what they can give away. And you know, it was my plumber friend. My friend who had recently been to some kind of a plumbing convention in Las Vegas. Now, I can imagine that must have been very exciting, but sure, he'd been to a convention, and as he walked through the doors, the first booth he walked onto, they pinned him with a giant button. Now, on this button, they explained, was their logo, of course, but underneath it was a number. And they explained to my friend that as he walked around this huge auditorium, or this convention center, he was supposed to look for a person who had the matching number. If he could find that person and bring them back to the booth, they would both win large screen TVs. Well, he was excited. As a matter of fact, he went on to tell me that he didn't even look at any of the other booths in the entire exhibit hall. He spent the entire time walking around looking at everybody's chests just to see if he could find that number. Well, you know what? I took that idea, brought it back to my industry, and it ended up with one of the largest sales we had ever made. And it came from my plumber friend. So what I'm saying is, just you need people around you to offer ideas all the time, as long as you accept that there's more than one right answer. And get outside the lines a little bit. I recently had the experience, as a matter of fact, recently, it was only this week, where a young man came to my home who I had called just out of the Yellow Pages. Now, we are looking to have a tree removed in our front yard. And I had had a few people come before him, and every single one of them looked at the tree, looked it up and down, seemed very studious, very involved, and then gave me a quote, you know, and that's what I expected. But this young man was different. I would guess him to be only in his late teens, maybe early 20s. And he came out and he said, Mr. Taub, he said, you obviously want the tree removed and those giant roots removed. Now, I could quote you on that, he said. But he said, what is the actual challenge that you're facing? Why do you want it removed? Well, this took me aback. I was so surprised that he asked me a question like that. And I told him. I started to tell him that it looked like it was the root system was getting into our sewers, and we started having a conversation. By his asking me questions, we started to develop a relationship. It set him apart from everybody else. Why? Simply, I believe, because he was taking time to be creative, time to think of the answer or the solution to my challenge. So taking time, looking at things from a whole new perspective, that's what it's going to take to be more creative. By the way, if you're wondering about the tree, it's still standing. So my suggestion is, don't take too much time. Anyway, up to this point, I really haven't given you any tools to be more creative. This has more been a mindset than anything else. I do want to share an important tool with you, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about what makes you different in your marketing. Not in your selling style, but how do you market yourself now? What makes you different? But first, a tool. Let me tease you a little bit. When we use this tool in my business, in the first year, our sales increased by 37%. 37%, and we didn't change anything but this simple thing that I want to share with you. Not only did it increase our sales, but let me tell you a little more. It changed the way I managed people. Yeah, all of a sudden I realized that it wasn't normal for people to come to work for 2 weeks and leave, you know? Also, on top of all of this, it changed the way I parent my kids. All right, enough teasing. Well, let me share something with you. Try this with me for a second, but again, if you're driving, I wouldn't suggest this. You might want to pull over or listen to this a little later. But close your eyes for a second. Now you know why I say don't be driving. Close your eyes for a second and imagine that gravity stops every day for 30 seconds. Same time every single day. You can set your watch by it. It's always happened. It always will happen. Now, there's two kinds of thinkers out there. Some of you are very analytical, kind of left-brain thinking, who are thinking, so what, we'll float. What I want you to do is soften up a little bit. Become a little more imaginative. Yes, you will float, but what are some of the benefits to floating every day for 30 seconds? What do you see? Well, what would your hair look like? You know, what would your desk look like? I'd have an excuse. Hey, it just went up and came down that way. I can't help it that it's so messy. There's so many things floating. You could dunk that basketball you've been trying to dunk for the last 30 years. You could clean the corners of your rooms, change the light bulbs you've been trying to change. It'd be a stress-free environment for a little while, wouldn't it? Maybe this is the time that guy wants to come and remove my tree. It seems like it would be a little easier during that 30 seconds. Anyway, the point is that what we're doing is imagining something that's just not real. And I got to tell you something, folks. We are the only species that can do this. You know, if you ask a dog, imagine gravity stopping every day for 30 seconds. Well, the dog looks up and he's thinking, is he going to pet me or feed me? Pet me or feed me? Because it's not real to a dog. How many of you are fans of Far Side, Gary Larson's Far Side? If you're not, I'm not here to promote Far Side cartoons, but I would encourage you to go out and buy yourself a calendar that goes on your desk by Gary Larson. These things are wonderful, if only for the reason that every morning I look at it, I walk away saying, I am a normal person. Compared to this guy, I am normal. No, seriously, my favorite Far Side is above my desk, and it's divided in half. And on one side, it says what a human says to her dog. Maybe you've seen this. She's talking to her dog, and she says, today we're going to cut through the park. I've got to pick up my dry cleaning. When we're done, I'll cut back through the park, and when we get home, I'll give you a cookie. On the other side of the comic, it says what the dog hears. Blah, 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 cookie! Sure, because the only thing that's real to the dog is cookie. As a matter of fact, my kids do the same thing. Now that I think of it, my wife does the same thing, too. I think it's called selective hearing. But the point is, we have the ability as human beings to imagine things that just aren't real. Gravity stopping every day for 30 seconds, just not real. And the way to get us outside of our comfort zones, to color outside the lines a little, is a tool that I want to share with you. If you'll try this for the next 21 days, I can almost guarantee, see I'm on tape, I can almost guarantee that it'll change the way you do business. There are two words in the English language that are the most powerful words when it comes to the creative process. By using these two words, like I said, it may just change everything you've done before. The two words? Well, let me ask you. What do you think the two words are? They form a question. The words are what if. What if? The two most powerful words that you can possibly use. Right now, it might seem very trivial to you, but please stick with me as we take it through different steps to see how it can affect this whole creative process. What ifing alone sort of takes you outside of your boundaries. One of the things I suggest is around your kitchen table for the next week, what I'd like you to do is assign somebody in your family the what if questioner of the day. If you have lots of people in an office that you go to regularly, then that's a good idea. You can do it there too. But I know a lot of you are out there working on your own every single day, so try this at home. The idea is that somebody has to come to the breakfast table and ask the most bizarre, unreal, what if question that you've ever heard. What if humans didn't need to sleep? What if we didn't have stoplights or stop signs? What if we had a 12-year-old president, etc., etc.? No comment there. The point is that once you ask the question, go around the table and have everyone answer it. Why do you think I say this? See, what's going to happen is things are going to start moving. The juices are going to start flowing for the day. Ideas start to flow. But more importantly, you get some fun, bizarre answers. I just said a word that is really the core of being more creative. It's a simple three-letter word, starts with F, ends with N, fun. You know, this is really a foreign concept to some of us. We grew up in an age, and it doesn't matter how old you are, we really grew up in an age where fun and work did not go together. Fun and work didn't go together. I grew up in retail. My father worked 6 days a week. At 6 o'clock at night, he closed the store and he got to come home and have fun with the family. On Sundays, the store was closed and we got to have fun. And 2 weeks a year, he took vacation so we could have fun. But fun and work did not go together. As a matter of fact, I remember the first week that I came home from college. And my dad very seriously looked me in the eye and he said, "So, son, what do you want to do with your life?" I thought he was out of his mind. But I answered, I said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, do you want to make a lot of money?" I said, "Sure, that'd be nice." He said, "Do you want big houses, nice cars?" I said, "Sure, that'd be okay." He said, "Well, what is the one thing that you want to get out of life?" I looked at him, and without even hesitating, I said, "I want to have fun." Well, I thought he was going to have a heart attack on the spot. Poor guy. As a matter of fact, that's when he said to me, "You will be an attorney." I guess he tried to think of the one profession where you weren't going to have much fun. Anyway, the point is that fun was such a foreign concept, and it still is. And I got to tell you something. Wouldn't you agree with me that people want to do business with people who seem to enjoy what they do for a living? Having a little more fun at what you do just may translate to more sales, more business, because people want to buy from people who are having fun at what they do. So having more fun doesn't have to be something that we stay away from. As a matter of fact, at its very basic level, what ifing, we'll make it a verb, will allow you to have a little more fun, get outside of your comfort zone a little bit. You know, one of the things that I talk about in my full-day workshops is the whole concept of changing the environment that you meet in. One of my fondest memories of elementary school was a teacher who said, "Why don't we go outside today?" Or, "Why don't we go on a field trip?" Why? Because she was changing the environment in which we met, that stuffy old classroom, that learning environment. So why can't we translate this to the way we do business every single day? You know, I've been saying this for years, and I had a woman who wrote me a letter about 2 years ago, and she said every single week and Monday morning she had a meeting in her office. And every single Monday what they would do is, with 40 of them in this room, they would all go around and each give their challenge of the week. And the idea was that everyone else had to go around and give their solution for that challenge. Well, one Monday morning they were sitting around and somebody gave a challenge and no one could come up with a solution. And she remembered me saying, change the environment you meet in. So she had everybody stand up around this beautiful oak conference table that she designed. They pushed their chairs to the walls. Now, the very formal setting, you know, ties, suits, dresses. pushed their chairs to the walls, had them all sit on the floor, and they held their entire meeting under the table. She told me it was the most productive meeting that they had ever had. Why? Because they started to have fun. They started to loosen up a little bit, and the ideas started to flow. You know, I also just got a letter from a young man who's a manufacturer's rep. Now, this is a man who represents one line of goods to a distributor. He has to get them excited about selling his product line. He got a letter from the distributor asking him to come and present his line to 25 of their salespeople 2 months down the road. So he had time to plan, and he remembered me saying change the environment. It was in the Ann Arbor, Michigan area, and he showed up at the meeting. By the way, he was the third presenter that day. He knew that these people had already been sitting there for over 4 hours, so he had to do something different, and he decided to change the environment. Showed up at the meeting. He said, pack up your things. We're going on a field trip. All the salespeople stood up. He took them outside, and he had arranged for vans to transport the entire sales force over to the University of Michigan football stadium. If you're wondering, it's one of the biggest stadiums in the conference, about 117,000 seats. And he had arranged to hold the entire meeting in the 50-yard line of an empty 117,000-seat football stadium with box lunches for everybody. Which presentation do you think they remembered? All right, you don't have to take your clients or your customers out to a football stadium. The point is, how do you change the environment to make them remember what you have to tell them, your solution? One of the ways, at its very basic level, is by what-ifing. By what-ifing and having a little bit of fun. What-ifing something that maybe is totally outrageous. And I'll tell you why in a second. But let me just share one thing with you. As I have studied very creative people and very creative companies, when I walk away and say, man, are they ever creative? The one thing that I found that they have in common is a very simple fact. They have all discovered that there's very little difference between aha, which is the discovery of a new idea, and ha-ha, which is having fun. Very little difference between aha and ha-ha. So loosen up a little bit when it comes to your challenges. Recently, I conducted a workshop in downtown Manhattan. Now, to all you New Yorkers, I apologize in advance, but I know that you're the first to admit that New Yorkers have just a different mentality about things. And I love it. I love New York. Sorry to be cliche. But I was working in Manhattan, and I asked a what-if question, my favorite one. I asked, what if, now think about this, what if you had 7 fingers on each hand? Stop the tape for a second, and I want you to come up with as many answers as you can. What if you had 7 fingers on each hand? Okay, how many answers did you come up with? Well, let me tell you some of the more creative ones that I've heard. Jewelry usually comes up first, you know. I could wear more jewelry. How about massages? Wouldn't they feel great? Concertos, nice piano playing. Keyboard, it'd be great for typing, wouldn't it? 7 fingers on each hand, what else? Oh, what about sports? Maybe you could palm that basketball you've been trying to palm. Catch that ball you've been trying to catch. Instruments would play beautifully. As a matter of fact, it just occurred to me, they'd have to change the entire decimal system. They couldn't even call it a decimal system. You could count to 14, well, with your toes, actually, you could count to 24. Sure, we can think of all these things, have a little bit of fun. Now, let's take this to managing people, to approaching people. Imagine for a second that you work for me, and I come to you and I say, look, it's 7:30, I want you here at 6:30 tomorrow, and I walk away. How do you feel? Sure, you feel threatened. You didn't get an opportunity to even respond, and that's the way I used to manage people. And all of a sudden I realized that by simply adding the two words, what if, it would change the way that I manage people. I now went to people and I said, look, you know what, it's 7:30, what if you come in tomorrow at 6:30? And I would stop and listen. And now you could say to me, oh, I can't come in at 6:30 because I can't get my kids to the babysitter before 7, which means I couldn't get here before 7:15. And I would say, oh, that's okay, 7:15. If we did that every day this week, we could get the project done. And you might say, next week I could get my wife to take the kids, and I could be here at 6:45. Oh, great, let's do that. But what happened? We opened up a dialogue back and forth, and we came up with a solution that would work for both of us. You know, this was no different, I told you, than parenting my kids. We use a thing in our house called time out with our young kids. Now, my parents think we're out of our minds, but we don't hit our kids. We tell our kids to go into time out. And about 2.5, 3 years ago, I started using what if with my little daughter. I used to say to her, no matter how angry I was, what if you went in your room and you thought about why you did what you just did? Now, in her mind, this was far less threatening, and it opened up a dialogue. Not that I would listen to a word she has to say when I'm angry, but the point is, in her mind, she had recourse. And you know what? Now that she's 6 or 7, sometimes I say this, and she looks at me and she says, Daddy, I'll tell you exactly why I did what I did. And we have a conversation. It blows my mind. The point is, why is this any different than the way we're approaching our clients every single day, our customers every single day? Maybe because we're experts at what we do, we're coming across as being very threatening. How do you use what if to make money? Let me tell you how we did it. Typically, if you can imagine this, we go back to a client and say something like, Bob, thanks very much for taking time the other day to meet with us and telling us about your trade show challenge. You know, we had time, we brainstormed, we got together, and we know exactly what you should give away on your booth. We think you should give away these glasses. Let me tell you why, Bob. You know, with this health kick and everything else going on, you could pour water into it. People would be walking around with water in this glass that has your logo on one side. And on the other side, we could put those 10 things that you talked about. They'd be walking around the trade show. Other people would say, where'd you get the glass? And they'd come to your booth and get it. What do you think? And each time, my client would look at me and say, Jeff, great idea. What else have you got? I'd say, no, Bob, you don't understand. We spent a long time. I've been doing this for 25 years. I know that glasses are the best idea for your challenge. And it would go back and forth like that, head to head. The difference came when we added what if. I'd walk in and I'd say, Bob, what if we use glasses for your next trade show promotion? And I would stop and listen. See, that's the hardest thing that we have to do in sales of any kind, in our own business especially. We're experts at what we do, and we don't want to listen to the client's challenge. What if we use glasses in your next trade show promotion? And Bob might say, well, we can't use glasses, Jeff, because if we can't ship them across country, they might break. And I would say, okay, well, what if we use plastic? And he'd say, wait a second, do you have plastic beer steins? Because if we could use plastic beer steins, our theme is flow through ideas. And we went on and on and on to the point where I could say, how many do you want? The point is, after I left, Bob would go to the people he works with, and what would he say every single time? I have a great idea. I have a great idea, and I want to work with Jeff Tobe because something feels right. And why? Because he bought into the idea. The idea that I was suggesting, and I got to tell you something, many times I had to leave my ego at the door. Even though I knew that glasses were the best idea for him, I might go out selling him something completely different. The point is, we did business together because we developed this, what I call, creative marriage.
If you feel like you're just not at that creative plateau where you want to be, then it's not going to feel comfortable trying to get there. And I'm not here to tell you this is an easy process, but if you'll just try some of the things we're talking about today. So what ifing alone does not get you where you're trying to go to. Just asking a what if question is just a process to get where you're going. I call it leapfrog ideas, because you say what if, and you come up with an answer, and you go, oh wait, but what if we... Well, what if we took that and we put it... No, wait, what if we did that and we put this in... No, wait, I got a great idea. And you come to the idea that you're looking for. I'll give you a great example. Sherwin-Williams Paint Company. You're all familiar with that? In Dallas. 2 or maybe 3 years ago, they were sitting around a huge table. President, all the bigwigs. President of the company, the head of marketing and advertising and operations and engineering, everybody. Sitting there, the president comes up and says, look, we got a problem. We need a larger market share. And I want you guys to figure out how we do it. And of course, the marketing and advertising people said, well, if we get better placement on the shelves and we change our, you know, this and that. It was the engineering guy that said, what if, out here, what if we took every can of paint and we put gunpowder in it? And they looked at him as crazy as you're looking at me, okay? What if we put gunpowder into every can of paint? He said, wait a second. He said, if we did that, he said, every time you paint your house, after 3 or 4 years when you want to repaint it, all you'd have to do is light a fuse and blow the paint off the side of the house and start again. And some of them giggle, and some of them thought he was crazy, just like you think I am, okay, doing this. But you know what? To their credit, they laughed and they said, well, wait a second. What if we didn't put gunpowder, but what if we took the can? Well, what if we did this, and what if we put this in there? And what if, until in the fall of this year, fall of 93, Sherwin-Williams will introduce a can of paint that you will paint your house like normal. It's got a chemical in it, an additive or a chemical, whatever. And you'll paint your house like normal. After 3 or 4 years, when you're ready to go paint your house again, you'll spray it with a chemical that will react with the additive that's in the paint, and you will literally be able to peel the paint off the side of your house in giant strips to start painting again. And that came from the crazy suggestion of, what if we put gunpowder into every can of paint? So maybe it's not so crazy. So let yourself go, take your blinders off, and start what-ifing a little bit.
So if you want people to buy into your ideas, try this what-ifing with them. At least it'll get you off on the right foot. It'll set you apart from everybody else. You're asking questions, and most people don't do that. Most people want to give a quick solution and get out of there. So I've shared a lot of things with you today as far as being more creative, getting outside of your comfort zone, but I've got to give you some warnings too, some obstacles that you're going to face, especially when you try what-ifing. You know, one of the biggest obstacles that we face goes back to when we were kids. What was the number one rule we learned when it came to coloring books? Stay in the lines. Stay in the lines. And I remember my big brother coming to me one day and saying, hey, there's no such thing as purple people. So I never colored a purple person again. Now, there were many nights at college I proved him wrong, but that's a whole other tape. Anyway, you know, stay in the lines. I remember about 7.5 years ago, my nephew came to visit with me. Now, this is before I had children. And it was before I even looked into this whole creative process. And I went out to buy him a coloring book and crayons because he was bored. After about 20 minutes, he came to me to show me, very proudly, the picture that he had finished. I took a look at it, and something just didn't seem right. And then it occurred to me, he had colored all the white space around the items that were, you know, supposed to be colored. All the white space. So I looked at him and I said what every adult says in the same position. Not every adult, but most adults say to youngsters. It's wrong, Matthew, it's wrong. You're supposed to color this and you're supposed to color that. Poor kid. I messed him up for life. As a matter of fact, he writes me letters from the penitentiary. He's doing fine. No, just kidding. The point is, things have not changed as we get older. There are many times that you're going to try what-ifing. What-ifing with a new customer or a prospect, and they're going to say, whoa, wait a second, we didn't ask you for that. And what are they saying? We don't color outside the lines. You know, stay in the lines. But I gave you an easy way to get back into your comfort zone. Because by what-ifing something bizarre, something great, something a new idea, a new approach to the whole challenge at hand, you're way outside of your comfort zone. And if somebody says, wait a second, we don't do that here, you can simply say, well, wait a second, what if we just did this part of it? And you're getting closer to your comfort zone. And they say, well, I don't know. And you say, okay, well, what if we just did this? But at least you've challenged yourself to color outside the lines a little bit. And another obstacle that you're going to face is a simple thing that we used to face when we were teenagers all the time. You know, it was probably the number one influence in our lives in our teens. Probably the reason you smoked your first cigarette, dated somebody you probably didn't want to date. What was it? Peer pressure. Peer pressure. And then somewhere along the line, we said to ourselves, we are individuals and peer pressure will never affect us again. I got news for you, folks. Peer pressure is still one of the strongest influences in our lives every single day. I don't know how many of you are fans of the old candy camera. You know, the Alan Funt days. I don't know about the new one. But one of my favorite candy cameras had to do with peer pressure, as most of them did. Will somebody do something that they normally wouldn't do in front of a hidden camera if everybody else is doing it? Now, let me just set up the scenario for you. It was a doctor's waiting room. And they set it up that there were 6 actors, 3 actors, 3 actresses, waiting for the doctor. And they had hired them, and all of them were sitting in the waiting room reading a magazine, all of them in their underwear. Now, they could only show from the neck up in those days, but one by one, they led the person into the room who they were playing the joke on. Now, the first precious moment was when you saw their face when they looked around at this waiting room. Well, they sat them all down, gave them a magazine, and told them to wait for the doctor. one by one, they looked around at all these scantily clothed people, and they started to undress. They must have said to themselves, oh, the doctor wants me ready before I get in there. I guess I'll get undressed. Now you laugh and you say, I'd never do that. Peer pressure is a very strong influence. The point is that peer pressure is out there all the time. And you've got to be careful. You'll catch yourself saying, wait a second, if I get outside the lines too much, what are people going to think? What are my clients going to think? What are my prospects going to think? What's my family going to think? But I'm asking you to challenge yourself for the next 21 days to start looking at your challenges from a whole new perspective. To start asking yourself, is there more than one right answer? Taking the time to be a little more creative. The last thing that I want to share with you is a little bit about being more creative in your marketing, in how people perceive you. And again, it really boils down to just looking at what you're doing now from a whole new perspective. Maybe the way you approach people, maybe the way that you're out there advertising, which is part of marketing, can be done in a whole new light if you just take a step back and look at what you're doing now. The thing I want you to ask yourself is, if I were a consumer looking for my service, why would I choose me? Think about that. What makes me different than anybody else out there? If I were a consumer looking for my service, why would I choose me? And all of a sudden you start to realize, as a consumer, what attracts you to different companies, and you're working backwards from a different perspective. So I want you to try and be a little more creative in your marketing approach too. You know, I've been sharing this with you for the last 50 minutes or so, and I've been throwing ideas out at you, and I know this is not an easy process. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share a poem with you in a few minutes that I share with all of my audiences. On tape, in person, it doesn't matter because it's so important to me. But the first few lines of the poem go something like, coloring outside the lines is scary business, and some days I don't have the courage for it at all. Well, I realize that. I mean, I'm in the creativity business, and some days I wake up and say, hey, I don't feel like being creative, I'll be creative tomorrow. But you know what? When I remind myself that this can be a fun, new approach to doing business every single day, I realize that it really is the only thing that sets me apart from everybody else. As we go into the 21st century, the only thing that we have that makes us different is not our service and it's not our product. Those are all wonderful things after you make the sale. The point is, the only thing I have that makes me different is me. And someone has to buy into me before they're going to buy my product or my service. And can I approach their challenges from a whole new perspective? And remember one thing, there's no need for this entire creative process if there's no challenge in the first place. So identifying that challenge is probably the key thing to do first. The other thing, and to quote an advertisement that we used to hear on the TV over and over again, this is not your father's Oldsmobile. Think about it. We're not doing business the same now as we were in our father's day or in our grandfather's day, so stop looking in your rearview mirrors. Let's see what's coming ahead of us, and let's see if we can approach it creatively with new, innovative ideas, new marketing techniques, and new answers to the everyday challenges that we hear. So, no matter where you are, if you're in your cars, one more time, why don't you repeat after me, I am creative. Oh, that wasn't too bad. Try that again. I am creative. All right, 21 days like you mean it. That's wonderful. I teased you a little bit a few minutes ago and said that I wanted to share a poem with you. But before I do that, I want to share the story that goes with my poem. When I was 10 years old, I was certainly the kind of kid that colored outside the lines. I wasn't a bad student. I got B's and C's on my report card. But what I dreaded was that tiny little area at the bottom of every report card that said, Conduct on comments. I remember things like, Jeffrey has seen the hallway more than our janitors. Or, Jeffrey is on a first-name basis with the principal. Or I remember one, Jeffrey won't stand in line when told to. Now, if my daughters brought this home nowadays, I would go ballistic on that teacher. But, you know, we grew up in an age where most of us would take a report card home like that, and we knew what to expect from our parents. My parents basically said, why can't you stay in the lines? Now, they didn't say those words. They said things like, why do you have to be class clown? And why do you have to act up and be the one to stand out? Why can't you get A's like your friend Gary? You know? So I knew what to expect. Well, I was 10 years old, and I was walking home with the worst report card I'd ever received. Not only were the comments bad, but this time I had C's and D's, and I knew what my father was going to say. I remember standing on a bridge in the small town in Ontario where I grew up, overlooking a beautiful river below. No, there were no suicidal tendencies, I promise. The point was, what I remember thinking was that I had to get out of town. You know, I remembered seeing a hitchhiker recently, just before that, and I couldn't remember if he used his thumb or his forefinger to get a ride, but I knew I had to use one of them because I had to run away. And a miracle happened. The wind blew, and the report card blew from my hands into the river below, and I was saved. Yeah, well, I thought so naively that there were no other copies, so I went home. About 2 days later, my dad came to me waving this piece of paper in one hand, and in the other hand had something else. My reaction as a 10-year-old, I looked at him and I said, "You swam for that?" I couldn't believe it. You know, instead of saying what I thought he was going to say, he handed me a copy of this poem. He said, "Go ahead and read this." And I did. When I was finished reading it, I looked up at him and I said to him, "Does this mean I'm in trouble or not? I don't get it." And he said probably the worst words you could say to a 10-year-old at that time. He said, "Son, one day you will." It was 9 years later. I was cleaning out my dresser drawer to go back to college, and I found a copy of this poem. Now I use it everywhere. It's everywhere in my house. It's at work. Because to me, it epitomizes what creativity is all about. And I'd like to share it with you. Coloring. Coloring outside the lines is scary business. Sometimes I don't have the courage for it at all. On my big, bold days, though, I like to let my red crayon just streak across the line, and then I swirl my purple out there with it. In perfect freedom, no lines. Coloring outside the lines is lonely, too. I'm the only one who doesn't get a gold star on my paper. The teacher frowns. The kids call me weird or dumb or retarded. Why don't they see? I'm not behind them. I'm actually out in front, running free, outside the lines. It would be nice to have a friend who colored outside the lines, sometimes too. Will you?
We hope this edition of the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month has given you many new ideas to help you run your company more effectively. Along with this month's tape, you also receive several other things. There is a short summary of the tape you just heard, a brief outline of the program for quick review, and you will also find a customer response card enclosed. There is a place on the card for your comments on this tape, as well as space for suggestions you would like to make for topics on future tapes. The response card is postage paid, so please write down a few comments and drop it in the mail. We would love to hear from you. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.